much. No, I do. My kids tease me. It's okay, Mom. I have one in the kitchen. I got one in my bag. Got one in my car. And I just applied some before I came up here. And yes, I would love to see all of you. Many, many of you have done VBS with us, so please sign up. And I know some of you have said you're going to do it, but sign up so we can get you down. thank you for your prayers. I know a lot of you have been praying for me for this because I'm kind of nervous about this. But anyways, let's get our slides going. So yes, we are now in the next section of our verse. Most of you know that we're doing this verse, the Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, and we've already gone through trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not in your understanding, and all your ways acknowledge him, and we will make your path straight. So right now, we are focusing on in all your ways acknowledge him. Last week, if you were here, we heard from Lindsay and Haley Hanover, and they talked about trials. And so this week, we're going to be talking about grief, but it's not going to be this heavy all the time. So one of the things I wanted to reiterate what the Hanover said was that like trials, if you haven't gone through them, you will. And same thing with grief. If you haven't experienced grief, or maybe you're in a season of grief now, but you will enter a season of grief. And maybe if you're not in it now, maybe you have a friend that might be going through it. So hopefully there's something that you can kind of take home from today's talk. I also wanted to let you know that although I'm in a season of grief, I feel like I am by no means an expert on grief. There are many other people here that have experienced it on a much bigger scale and a much more impactful way that I have. But I will be sharing what I've been learning and my own experience of going through it. So in the fall, when we were looking for speakers, I looked at the different chapters in this book, and I will say that God kind of brought my attention to the chapter on grief. And in the fall, I was also experiencing a lot of one-year anniversaries of things. So my mom passed away on December 29th of 2024, so it's been just over a year. So in the fall, it was the anniversary of her cancer diagnosis. My mom had colon cancer, which had metastasized to her liver and into her lungs. And then it was the year anniversary of her death when she passed, and then her birthday was in January. So, you know, it was kind of an emotional time. But I thought that this talk might be a good way for me to kind of explore about grief and think about what I've been experiencing, as well as seeing what other people had to say about it. So since I said yes to sharing, I have read my chapter on grief. I've also been attending the Grief Share class that they have here at the church since last month. And then I've listened to many hours of Anderson Cooper's grief podcast. It's called All There Is. I was not aware that he had one, so I would highly recommend it. It was super insightful on the things that he just had to share, on his reflections, and also a lot of his guests. So I found that really helpful. So grief has been defined as a response to loss, and grieving a loss is not limited to the death of a loved one. There's many things that we can grieve, things that didn't come to fruition, dreams or aspirations, but for today, I'm going to be talking about the loss of a loved one, and we do grieve because we love. So in previous generations, I feel like death and grief was a little bit more prevalent or at least more public. I think about back in even the biblical days, they would hire mourners, you know, people would wear black for like even up to a year. And these were external indications that that person was going through grief, that person was in mourning. I also felt like decades ago, at least in my family, my parents were always going to funerals and memorials. My cousin would kind of joke when my mom would always go back home. My mom and my aunts would go back to their hometown for a funeral. It was like, who died? It was your cousin's best friend's brother-in-law's neighbor? You know, like, how were they related? It was so far removed. But I think it was just someone in their community, right? So my parents went to a lot of funerals back in the day. I also heard someone that joked about that in a previous generation, there were a lot of people that went to funerals. Grief was very present, but like no one talked about sex. But now everyone talks about sex, but no one talks about grief. So there's kind of been a flip on that. So as a reminder, with the author of our book, Megan Fate Marshman, her husband died unexpectedly of a heart attack when he was 36. So she was also young, and they had a couple of young kids. And the main point that she makes in her book is that grief is a thing, and it should be experienced. And the importance of experiencing grief was reiterated many times throughout all of the things I've been listening to. I feel like grief is kind of like that kid's song. You can't go under it, can't go over it, can't go around it. You got to go through it. And so that's kind of how it is. Now, you may not be familiar with Anderson Cooper's story, I don't know, but he lost his dad when he was 10 from heart disease. When he was 21, his brother was 23, his brother took his own life in front of his mom. And then when his mom was in her 90s, that's when she passed. And it was then that he realized that he hadn't really processed the grief of his dad and his brother. He'd kind of just pushed it down and never really dealt with it. That's one of the reasons why he went to Somalia and places to do journalism and did things like that to kind of get away from it. But as he was going through her things and also found things of his brothers and his dad's, he just realized that he never really processed it. So one of the first podcasts I listened to, he was talking about how he was going through these boxes that his mom still had in the basement with like hundreds of cards from the 1970s. And I was like, oh, that's just like me. When I was going through my parents' house, I found these boxes of cards from the 70s. Although in his family, there were cards from like Charlie Chaplin and Marilyn Monroe and telegrams from Frank Sinatra. So I didn't find things like that. So it was kind of like me, but kind of not like me. Something else that I've learned about grief, that it's different for everyone. There is no one way to grieve. There is no right way to grieve. There's no specific timeline. And it's also not linear. There's not really this specified progression of steps, and then like you're done, you graduate. I am going to talk about different stages of grief. And in some ways, the grief never ends, because we will always have that loss of that person. I also heard an analogy of death being like a door closing. So for some, it's very sudden, unexpected, perhaps even traumatic or tragic. For others, it's slower and more expected. That's how it was with my mom. But either way, the door still closes, and there's no doorknob. You can't open it up again. So that grief that you have, that loss, will always be there. I think those who haven't experienced grief might be surprised at how long it can last for some people. I think for myself, I'm almost embarrassed to say, I'm sure I thought to myself about friends like, gee, shouldn't it be over by now? It's been like how many years? But that's just how it is. And each person is different. It really varies. I'm sure you can figure this out on your temperament, on how close you were to that person, and what the circumstances were of their passing. For some people, the death of a loved one is devastating. And they might even be incapacitated, not able to get out of bed, and just doing the next thing would be really, really difficult. And it's not to say that those sad feelings won't get easier. I think typically over time, they do lessen, and it's not as overwhelming. You can get to a point where those feelings don't consume you, but they're kind of beside you. That's how someone kind of explained it. Grief is a healthy response to loss, and it has the power to move us. And avoiding grief is what kind of keeps us stuck. The author says that Christians should grieve, but we grieve with hope. I had heard at one point that some people thought grieving or being sad, I guess, was unchristian-like. And I guess it's from the idea that if we have eternal hope, we shouldn't be sad, or if we know it's part of God's plan. But I don't think that's true. Although those things are true, about the eternal hope and everything, I think being sad is okay. That's really part of it. Let's see if I can get this going. Not progressing. Oh, here we go. Okay, oh, went too far. Oh. Okay, there we go. Okay, so I talked about the stages of grief, and some of you might be aware of that. And our author talked about that as well. So they're denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance. And everyone, as I mentioned, seems to agree that the grieving process, it's not linear. So it's not like you're actually going to go in these orders. And it kind of can cycle. So even though you experience one of these things, you might go back to it again later. But we don't want to get stuck in a certain stage if possible, because then you might respond out of that. So if you're kind of stuck in anger, then if you're in the angry place all the time, you're going to tend to respond to other people out of that anger. And the author had said, we can't heal what we're unwilling to feel. And because grief is the healthy way to respond, we do want to kind of experience it, and that's what's going to be moving us forward. So I shared that when my mom died, it was the slow closing door. It was actually almost ideal, if you could say that. A lot of you knew my mom. She lived with us for the last 8 months of her life. And even though when she was given the cancer diagnosis, she was given 3 months to live, I think, I don't know if you can call it denial, it would be denial on a small level. So even at that, we thought, maybe she's going to beat it. Not the cancer, but the prognosis. Like the first maybe 4 to 6 weeks after she was diagnosed, she was doing so well. She would come to mom's and everything, and we thought, maybe she'll make it to 6 months. My brother said, I think she will. She's so tough. You know, but she didn't. She died right about that 3 months. And I think the other thing I found myself, maybe the last month or so, when she was getting weaker, I would find myself staying up later than I probably should. I'd be maybe reading or watching a show, and I'd be like, oh, I should get ready for bed. I should get ready for bed, and I just wouldn't. And I think you just didn't want time to pass. You didn't want the day to end because you knew time was just progressing. And one of my kids even said, I wish we could just freeze time, because we knew what was coming, and we thought if we could just stop it. But, you know, we knew we couldn't. But thankfully, a lot of you know, my mom, despite the extent of disease in her body, and doctors said it was a miracle that she didn't actually have symptoms, hospice was amazing, and they prepared me for things. Because of the colon cancer, there could be rectal bleeding, there could be incontinence. At her age, my mom was almost 98, they were surprised that she wasn't incontinent already. So I was prepared for all that, but, you know, she didn't. She actually, oh, thank you. She only had pain the last 2 days of her life. I only had to give her pain meds the last 2 days of her life. And I know it's not like that for everyone. I mean, those of you that knew my mom, she was, you know, cheerful, sweet, appreciative, and everything up until the very, very end. So anyways, even under those ideal circumstances, I mean, I think you have a little bit of this. And I think for me, I wasn't really angry. Most of you know I'm not an angry person. But even after she passed, I did question God. I said, couldn't she live just a little bit longer? But after she was diagnosed, our prayer, and many of you prayed this with me, our prayer was that she could live as long as she could and not be in any pain. And that's what happened. God told me if she lived longer, then she, you know, it would have been harder for her. And so that was her timing. So even in the best of circumstances, we might go through some of these feelings. And in my grief share class last week, we talked about anger. And so I'll share a little bit about that. So the anger that people feel, sometimes it could be directed at the person who passed away, depending on the circumstances of why they might be mad at that person for leaving or dying. Sometimes you're mad at the doctors. If there was a big medical issue, some people are mad at the doctors and what happened. And then some people are actually mad at themselves for different things, right? Regrets or whatever. So the anger can be directed in a lot of different ways. The author mentioned this man named David Kessler, and apparently he thought we should have a sixth stage of meaning. So I added meaning to that one. And it's not knowing why that person passed, but having meaning, and that their death could be meaningful. And so he thought that might help people also. The author says that everything got brought into her life through grief. She sees that, but she still wouldn't want it. You wouldn't ask for it. You kind of want relief instead of the grief. But God doesn't shoo away our pain. He is with us in that. He has greater plans for it. And as we grieve, we become more like him. Because in our sorrow, we can comfort others. And we can kind of get it and understand in ways that nobody else can. And I would agree with that. And as we comfort, we can find others comforted too. So if you think about things that we've gone through, we can relate better to. You know, all of us have probably done the whole potty training thing. And, you know, you can maybe advise someone if you haven't done it, but you kind of have to live through it. And once you've lived through it, you kind of get a better handle. Also things like that middle school drama, college applications, even things like doing a kitchen remodel, right? Unless you've done it, you don't really know how that goes. So the same thing, once we've been through it, it helps us to help others. Someone gave the illustration of like a car in a snowstorm, if you're following that car in front of you. So when you see those taillights, it kind of helps you to know the path. You know there's someone ahead of you that's doing it. And so in that same way, those of us who have grieved can help those others. God also draws close to those who are grieving. We might want to be plucked out of the pain, like I said, but God actually wants to be present with us in it. And Jesus understands our grief. Okay. Jesus wept. Oops. How come it keeps jumping? There we go. Jesus wept, John 11:35. If you've been planning to memorize scripture, this is a good one to start with. It's the shortest verse in the Bible. Okay. But, yes, my kids tried to pull that. Sure, Mom, I'll memorize a Bible verse. And this is the one they would pick. But Jesus understands our grief. He was fully human and fully man and fully God. This verse comes from the story of Lazarus, if you guys know that story. When I was younger, I would think, why did he cry? He knew he was going to just raise Lazarus from the dead in a few minutes. But I feel that he did feel their sadness. I think he felt the compassion. Lazarus' sisters were Mary and Martha, and other people were mourning him. And so I think Jesus showed that compassion and sadness. We also know that Jesus modeled grief and anguish in other times. Where Easter's coming up on us. If you remember the Garden of Gethsemane, you know, before he was arrested, just the anguish and pain that he felt. So in him being fully human, he knows those emotions. He knows his experiences. And I know he experienced those things in his lifetime. This is a verse that the Hanover shared as well from Psalm 23:4. I'm emphasizing the, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. I think their translation said shadow of darkness, but most translations actually say death. And so this is just another reminder that even in those dark and sad places, God is with us. And these verses are also on your on the sheet, the handout for today. And Psalm 34:18 says, God is close to the brokenhearted and save those who are crushed in spirit. This is a very popular one when it comes to sympathy cards, but it's a reminder that God is close to us, so we're not alone in our grief. Now, another part of grieving is being able to talk about the person who died. Sometimes a person's sadness is hard for others to see, and it makes them uncomfortable. But a lot of times when people are remembering their loved ones, that makes them sad, but they like talking about their loved ones, and they like having that memory and keeping the memory alive. When my kids were younger, I was going to some memorial or funeral, and I happened to say, you know, I don't think you guys know anyone that's passed away. And they said, well, we knew Uncle Mickey. So Uncle Mickey was my dad's oldest brother, and he had passed away before my kids were born. And I did not realize how much I must have talked about my uncle, that my kids felt like they knew him. And so I told my cousin that. She was very touched. But I did not do it intentionally. But I think he was very important to me. And they just were like, oh, we knew him. So those are ways we can keep these people alive. You can also learn more about people after they've died. One way is through stories and memories, like I had shared. And so you might know people, like, for instance, if a college roommate were to tell your kids stories, they would have different stories that, you know, your kids won't have. And so if you have these stories of people, then, you know, please share them, because it will help those people to know a different side of your loved one through that. It could be from, like, a sibling or a roommate or things like that have had a different experience. And it was kind of funny when my brother and I were going through my parents' home. We would have different memories from the exact same, like maybe we took a family trip or something. We all were there, but he had different memories than I did. Another way you can remember people is through their things. So as many of you know, I've said my mom saved everything, and she did. But in going through her things, it wasn't just a walk down memory lane for me, for things that I remembered in my lifetime. I learned things about my parents that I never knew. So a couple of the fun things we found is I found my mom's diary from like the early 1950s. And that was super fun to hear about how many movies she went to and guys she dated and stuff like that. But it was really fun to hear that side of her life, you know. My dad had saved eulogies that he had written for some of his college friends. He outlived a lot of them. And he had stories of when things that happened when they were at Cal back in the 50s. I also found cards that my parents wrote to each other while they were dating, which was really fun. And, you know, my mom, when she lived in San Francisco, she took all these classes. She took a wood printing class. She took a class on Japanese, extension class from Cal, and things I never knew she never talked about. So it was kind of fun to get to know her in that way. I will say as an aside, when my parents passed, we did sell the house, and there were a lot of things to go through. And selling the house was really hard. I feel like I probably shed more tears over the house than my mom, honestly. It surprised me. I was actually baffled by how emotional it was for me. But I think the objects are just a concrete thing of these memories. And I would tell myself, why am I getting so sad? I still have the memories. But somehow that was just something. So anyways, talking about what to do with the stuff, that's a whole nother talk, believe me. But in closing, just know that grief is a thing, and it's something that should be experienced, even though it can be hard. God will be with you in it. There's no finish line. I do want to share maybe what you can do if you're not going through a season of grief, but maybe you have a friend who is. Okay, what can you do when a friend is grieving? So the first one is, it's okay, even encouraged, to sit in sorrow with someone, with kindness and compassion. Just be there for them. Listen to them. They may want to talk and share memories of their loved one, and that may help them to feel close and to remember that person. Be okay with tears. Sometimes it's healing for people. Don't rush them through the process, but be there for them. Like I said, it's different for everyone. Some people, it's not as hard, and they can get through it sooner. Some people are what they call external grievers. They're going to cry about it. They're going to talk about it a lot. Some are more internal grievers. They might just busy themselves with activities. Share your stories and memories of the loved one if you knew that person. Share it with them. I think they'll like to hear that. And take the initiative in offering to help. So I've learned that from people at my table. I'm really good at saying, please let me know if you need anything. And I really, truly mean it. I will do whatever they want. But I leave it very open-ended. And for some people, it's very hard to ask. So to say, I'm going to bring you dinner next week. Does Wednesday work for you? And sometimes that helps them. It's easier for them to say yes. If you're grieving, I'll just remind you to keep on living, keep on loving. Be patient with yourself. Hopefully others will be patient with you too. And remember that you are not alone. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, is with you always. I have a few pictures to share. I wasn't sure whether to put them at the beginning or at the end. Okay, so here's a picture of me. It's my mom and my dad. That's before my dad passed. My dad passed at the end of 2020, so he was almost 96. My mom was almost 98, so I was very blessed with long life. There's my dad. It was on his birthday. There's me and my mom. And I will say, my mom lived to be almost 98. She was a month shy of 98. So we were definitely blessed with a very long life. But we really thought she was going to make it to 100. Her mom made it to 102. So I know. We're kind of selfish, right, that we wanted even more time with her. And there's a picture of me and Salinas when I was about 3 years old. And that's my brother. Okay. I'm going to close our time in prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for each woman that's here today, Lord. We thank you that you have placed people in our life that we love. And the flip side of that coin is that when we lose them, we will grieve, and it will cause sadness to us, Lord. But we thank you for fond memories. We pray that no matter how we lost someone, that we could focus on the way they lived, not just the way they died. I pray that if you've placed people in our lives that are in this season, that we would show kindness and compassion and show your love to them as we just embrace them and be with them. And thank you for your promises that we know that you will always keep, that you will be with us always in good times and in bad, Lord. We love you so much, and we thank you and praise you in your son's name. Amen. Thank you, guys.